Deuteronomy chapter 29. These are the words of the covenant which Yahweh commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab. That's just before they enter into Canaan, besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb, that's Mount Sinai. Moses called Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that Yahweh did before your eyes in the land of Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes saw, the signs and those great wonders. But Yahweh has not given you a heart to know and eyes to see and ears to hear to this day." Well, I think that doesn't mean that, well, God just stopped them from understanding. They did not want to understand it, and so God confirmed them in that refusal to understand the obvious. And this is how God works. He confirms people in the way in which they want to go. He can give you his Holy Spirit to confirm you in the way of understanding and the way of going his way, or you can be as King Saul. An evil spirit from the Lord confirmed him really in the way that he wanted to go. He will confirm your mental attitudes. And the essence really of the believing life is to be spiritually minded. If you want to be spiritually minded, God will strengthen you. "I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not grown old on you. Your shoes have not grown old on your feet." So I think it's quite clear that on our wilderness journey, God will provide the bare basics. We left Egypt when we were baptized, just as they came out of Egypt through the Red Sea. And so all their experiences in the wilderness journey look ahead to our experience on our journey to God's kingdom. And God will provide the basics, the manna, the bread, the water from the rock, and clothes and shoes. Now, of course, we want far more than that, unfortunately. And we live in a world that is crazy about saving for tomorrow, and a world that is into luxury living, where you have multiple pairs of shoes and all sorts of outfits of clothing. Well, yeah, that's not what God promises to give us. If you happen to have that, well, you are blessed. But that is not what God is particularly offering. We can just be assured in all our worries about material things, about finance and how we're going to live, that God will provide us with the basics. He will not leave us. And that is absolutely true. "You've not eaten bread, neither drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am Yahweh your God." In other words, I gave you the manna and the water, and you've not had wine and strong drink from me. That's what I gave you. And this whole experience of just trusting in God to provide the basics, it means that this is so that you may know that I am Yahweh your God. When we came to this place, and he's in Moab at this time, we saw from verse 1, "Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we struck them. We took their land and gave it for an inheritance to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of the Manassites. Keep, therefore, the words of this covenant and do them, so that you may prosper in all that you do. You stand this day, all of you, before Yahweh your God. The heads of your tribes, your officers, your little ones, your wives, and the foreigner in the midst of your camps. From the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water. You wish to enter into covenant with Yahweh and into his oath, that he may establish you this day to himself for a people, and that he may be to you a God as he spoke to you and as he swore to your fathers Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Not only with you do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him who stands here with us this day before Yahweh our God, and also with him who is not here with us this day." I think the idea is that all Israel down the generations should see themselves as having been delivered out of Egypt. And the Psalms that David and others write continually allude to this as if God did this for me. This is the power of Bible history, as you see things like Israel going through the Red Sea and the victories in Canaan, the walls of Jericho falling down. God did this for me, because we are also part of God's people. "You know how we lived in the land of Egypt and how we came through the midst of the nations. You have seen their abominations and their idols. wood and stone, silver and gold. This covenant is made, lest there should be among you man or woman, family or tribe, whose heart turns away this day from Yahweh our God, to go to serve the gods of those nations. Lest there should be among you a root that bears gall and wormwood, who when he hears the words of this curse, blesses himself in his heart, saying, I shall have peace, though I walk in the stubbornness of my heart. Yahweh will not pardon him. So, again and again in Deuteronomy, Moses stresses the state of their heart. And he foresees that there could be people who stood there, entering into the covenant with Yahweh, thinking in their heart, well, I'm okay, I will simply continue to serve idols, but yeah, sure, I'll go through the motions. No, God sees and knows all things, and he knows the thoughts of the human heart and what our self-talk really is. Because we all talk to ourselves. And that is what God looks at. What is your self-talk deep inside your heart? Yahweh will separate such a person unto evil out of all the tribes of Israel, according to all the curses of the covenant that is written in this book of the law. The generation to come, your children who will rise up after you, and the foreigner who will come from a distant land, shall see the plagues of the land and the sicknesses with which Yahweh has made it sick. The whole land is sulphur, salt and burning, that it is not sown nor giving produce, and no grass grows there, like the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah, which Yahweh overthrew in his anger and in his wrath. All the nations will say, why has Yahweh done thus to this land? What does this heat of this great anger mean? Men will say, because they forsook the covenant of Yahweh, the God of their fathers, and went and served other gods. Therefore the anger of Yahweh was kindled against this land. Well, did God actually rain sulphur and fire and brimstone upon the whole land of Israel like he did on Sodom and Gomorrah? Was the whole land, as we just read, turned into sulphur, salt and burning, so there was no grass growing there? No. As we said on chapter 28, God made a lot of curses that he said, if you're disobedient, this is what's going to happen, but they didn't happen. Not because the people didn't sin or because God sort of isn't serious, but because God struggles within himself between needing to judge them for their sin and on the other hand, as a father pities his children, so God pitied his people. And so, as is observed several times in the Bible, God did not punish them according as their sins deserved. Now, we have all sinned and we deserve to die, but likewise God did not punish us according to our sins. Once you see that connection between sin and death and the way that that is what we deserve, and we should have no right, therefore, we shouldn't think that we have any entitlement to anything other than death. Once you accept that, and it requires humility to accept that, then you start to realize that God is not at all a hard God. He is a God abounding in compassion, who pities those who, as it were, don't deserve it. The secret things belong to Yahweh our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. I wonder if what that's saying is, look, there are things that are not revealed, but don't worry about them. Focus upon the things that are revealed and do them. There's a great fascination in human beings about all sorts of things like, is there life on other planets? What exactly happened before this present creation? All sorts of things like that. And people get very caught up with those issues, various conspiracy theories and so on. We are not to get involved with giving much space in our head to all that stuff. We are to accept that there's a lot of things that are not revealed, but we are not to probe into them. Instead, we are to focus upon the things that are revealed because they belong to us so that we may do them.